little boy had reached 4 years old without giving up the habit of sucking his thumb. Though his mother had tried everything from bribery to reasoning to painting it with lemon juice to discourage the habit, finally she resorted to threats, warning her son, "If you don't stop sucking your thumb, your stomach is going to blow up like a balloon." Later that day, walking in the park, the mother and her son saw a very pregnant woman sitting on a bench. With great compassion, the four-year-old considered her gravely for a moment, then said, "Uh-oh, I know what you've been doing." The word for repentance in the New Testament comes from the Greek word metanoia. The Greek rendering carries the connotation of a sweeping change of mind and heart that leads to a change in behavior. It is meant to be a full commitment of the heart and the mind to no longer walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, if it is truly to be genuine repentance. As disciples of our Master, we are called to repent. It is a command of the Lord as the primary proclamation of His kingdom. John the Baptist preached a baptism of repentance, asking us to produce fruits of repentance. Jesus preached that people should repent and believe in the gospel. And St. Paul preached that people should repent, turn to God, and prove their repentance by their deeds. So what does that look like? Somehow we have to be able to see something different in the repentant and forgiven sinner. I believe we can look at six vital character attributes of the mind and heart to watch and strive for if we desire authentic, genuine repentance in our spiritual walk that will honor our Heavenly Father. Number one, genuine repentance happens in God's presence. In a very particular way for us in the sacrament of penance. Psalm 51 is a famous poem and psalm by King David after he ordered the murder of Uriah so he could have Uriah's wife Bathsheba. Most Fridays we pray this 51st psalm in morning prayer. And in the psalm, David cried out to God, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." All genuine repentance starts in the presence of God. Any expression of repentance that does not first stand in the presence of God's holiness is not really genuine. We cannot hide from Him, although that's sometimes the first response of sin, as we saw in St. Peter when he first met Jesus. "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." This is not what Jesus was sent into the world to do, to have sinners depart from Him, but rather turn to Him. Number two, genuine repentance brings godly sorrow. The Apostle Paul described two kinds of sorrow over sin. Divinely inspired sorrow brings a repentance that leads to salvation and leaves absolutely no regrets. Worldly sorrow, according to St. Paul, brings death. Godly sorrow moves us from sorrow to confession, to humble contrition, then to grace. We walk in forgiveness with all our shame removed. The world does not know this kind of sorrow and healing. Number three, genuine repentance in God's presence always results in joy. David prayed for God to restore the joy of salvation. And so repentance is meant to bring us joy because ultimately we are to trust in God's mercy and forgiveness. As David prayed to be cleansed and made pure so that he could teach transgressors God's ways, it is the same mercy that God that John, the beloved disciple, wrote about in his New Testament letters. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In another scripture example, the Apostle Paul wrote about a sorrowful letter that he sent to the Corinthians to correct behavior problems within their church community. He knew that the harsh words of correction hurt them for a time. But when Paul was told about their repentance and change of heart, mind, and behavior, he says his joy was greater than ever, because they had become sorrowful as God intended, because that divinely inspired sorrow is to turn to joy, and it is a joy that no one will be able to take from us. Genuine repentance is a desire from God through the Holy Spirit. Not only does repentance begin in the presence of God's holiness, but repentance is also first and foremost a gift of God's grace. He turns us back to him. God desires that we know him, so God's grace always seeks us first. God's love always is given to us first. Indeed, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance, as St. Peter reminds us. And St. Paul continues to write that it is God's forgiveness, forbearance, and long-suffering that leads us to repentance. Without God's help, we do not have strength or desire to change our ways. The good news, the gospel, is that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses and intercedes for us, as we hear in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Number five, genuine repentance bears fruit. A great way to understand the fruit of repentance is to think of it as a product or result of repentance. Jesus prevented the stoning of the woman caught in adultery. When the people who wanted to stone her had walked away, Jesus told her, "Go now and sin no more. Leave your life of sin." A change of behavior was absolutely expected. An example of this can also be seen in a story we heard not long ago in Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector known for his taking more money from people than he should have. When Jesus called Zacchaeus by name and stated that he was going to dine in his house, Zacchaeus repented of his sin in joy. "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay it back four times over." In response, Jesus said to him, Today, salvation has come to your house. And number six, genuine repentance brings restoration. Peter three times denied knowing our Lord in the hours before his crucifixion, just as Jesus had prophesied. And after his resurrection, Jesus appeared numerous times to his apostles and disciples. And that one great appearance recorded in the 21st chapter of John, Jesus provides Peter an opportunity to be restored in relationship with himself and all of the other apostles and disciples. There were no recriminations, just peace be with you. And Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Three times Peter replied, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Each time Peter responded, Jesus gave Peter an act, a behavior, a way to prove that he truly loved Jesus. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Peter's true repentance and obedience to Jesus meant that Peter's relationship with Jesus was restored. Brothers and sisters, bearing the fruit of repentance is a daily commitment, absolutely necessary for us in our walk with the Lord, but one that is most neglected by us. Genuine repentance brings us to that greater willingness to always be good in good relationship. Therefore, it begins in the presence of our holy God. When we stand in the light of God's holiness, we experience that divinely inspired sorrow that leads to the change of heart, mind, and behavior. And the result of repentance is a life lived in obedience and right relationship to Jesus and all the members of his body, first and foremost, through our living the sacraments of the church, especially the sacrament of penance, which keeps us in right relationship for the celebration always of the sacrament of the Eucharist. Repentance is more than a feeling of regret or a few words of apology. Genuine repentance is a daily, hourly, moment-by-moment decision to change our hearts and minds and our behavior when prompted by the Holy Spirit, who is always working for the fulfillment of our Heavenly Father's will.